Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we delve into What Are You Doing With Your Life? By Jiddu Krishnamurti. This introspective book explores profound questions about happiness, personal transformation, and the fundamental purpose of life. Through a philosophical lens, Krishnamurti offers guidance designed to navigate the complexities of life's journey. Jiddu Krishnamurti, born in India in 1895, emerged as a significant philosophical and spiritual figure. Initially hailed as a potential world teacher by Theosophical Society, Krishnamurti later eschewed this title, choosing instead to share his insights with global audiences through his writings and talks until his death in 1986. This book is ideal for those feeling adrift or seeking deeper understanding of their life's direction. It appeals to enthusiasts of philosophy, as well as individuals aspiring to be guides or mentors in others' lives. Join us as we summarize Krishnamurti's timeless wisdom and explore how it might be applied in our daily lives. What are you doing with your life? Explore answers to some of life's most difficult questions. Introduction. Discover deep life wisdom and challenge your perspectives. Have you ever paused to question the very purpose of your existence? Many of us do, whether it's pondering in silence or questioning aloud, how exactly one finds true, lasting happiness. Or perhaps, you've grappled with societal issues, searching for solutions that might right these perceived wrongs. This book opens up a dialogue on these deep questions, yet, don't expect pat solutions or effortless enlightenment. Instead, prepare for a thought-provoking exploration of concepts that might at first seem unsettling. For instance, consider the possibility that the enduring happiness we all seek might be a myth, or that scouring our lives for a purpose might lead us down the wrong path. In this discussion, you'll delve into how our societal upbringing molds our perspectives and behaviors in ways we might not readily recognize. It challenges the premise that revolutions bring change, suggesting instead that true change must first originate from within, not from external upheavals. Moreover, it draws a clear distinction between intellect and intelligence. Intellect is often confused with intelligence, yet the two are profoundly different. Intellect involves the accumulation of knowledge, the gathering of facts, and the proficiency in debates. However, intelligence is marked by the ability to perceive and adapt, to see connections where none seemingly exist, and to navigate through life's currents with intuition and wisdom. This narrative invites us on a journey, not just to observe our inner lives, but to shake the very foundations on which they stand, encouraging a reevaluation of what we've been taught to chase and cherish. Part 1. Unveil the truth by escaping the shackles of your conditioning. Pause for a moment and reflect on how you view the world around you. Take, for example, your concept of love. From your very first breath, societal narratives about love begin to shape your perceptions. Perhaps to you, love is symbolized by a joyous wedding picture or an unexpected bouquet of flowers. Yet this conditioning, steeped in your social, economic, and cultural background, potentially narrows your viewpoint, causing you to miss the multifaceted reality of love altogether. The core idea here is clear: your conditioning blinds you to true reality. This conditioning limits your ability to perceive the world in its full complexity. Despite life's inherently fluid nature, your preconditioned mind sees it as static. Anchored by the beliefs, cultural norms, and doctrines you've absorbed, you view life through a constricted lens. To grasp life's constant and subtle shifts, you must be willing to change your mindset and broaden your perspective. If you remain stuck in your conditioned views, you're only seeing a limited, unchanging snapshot, not the dynamic panorama that life really is. Consider watching a flower as it blooms and transforms. Your descriptions would change daily, capturing its growth and evolution. Life demands this same level of close observation. To see life more authentically, it's crucial to liberate your mind from the established theories and systematic views that claim to encapsulate it completely. For example, whether you identify as a socialist, capitalist, Christian, or Hindu, these ideologies can skew your perspective, forcing every situation to conform to your pre-existing beliefs, even when they contradict what is truly happening. So, how do you realign with the world's reality? By meticulously observing how your mind operates. It's about becoming an external observer of your own mental processes. Through this self-observation, you can begin to see how your conditioning restricts your perceptions. This understanding is the first step towards truly engaging with the ever-changing challenges we face in life, allowing you to connect more deeply with yourself and the world around you. Part 2. Self-transformation, the true catalyst for world change. Picture a revolution. Envision people united in fighting against perceived injustice, disrupting systems, and instituting a new regime promising equity and peace. This scene is often envisioned when thinking about changing the world for the better. However, the author suggests that such upheavals may not be the answer to true change. Here's the pivotal message. To transform the world, you must first transform yourself. As touched on before, our attachment to grand social theories can obscure our understanding and hinder genuine progress. If we place our hopes on external revolutions or monumental shifts in societal structures to mend the world's woes, we overlook a critical truth. Real change emanates from within. The world is a complex network of individuals interacting constantly. Issues typically attributed to political, religious, or economic systems actually originate at a more personal level, the individual. Problems like fascism, capitalism, or dogmatic religious practices are not the root causes of societal disruptions. Instead, issues stem from disturbances within the individual psyche. Whether it's addressing economic disparities, conflict, or mental health issues, the pivotal factor is the individual self. The author identifies the primary issue as the construction of the individual self, which exists in isolation, often opposing external elements. This very notion of self, driven by desires for power, status, and influence, spawns the myriad challenges we witness globally. Each pursuit of personal benefit unwittingly contributes to greater societal discord. Thus, the author argues that shedding the ego, or the I, is essential for genuine progress. However, this is not something one can achieve through sheer will or intellectual effort. Rather, it involves a diligent observation of one's own mental processes. By attentively monitoring your thoughts and actions, you can identify when ego-driven motives spur behaviors that are counterproductive. This self-awareness is the first step in a transformative process that not only alters the individual, but has the potential to initiate broader societal healing and improvement. Part 3. Embracing the transient nature of happiness. Happiness is a universal quest. It's often seen as the ultimate goal of life, something we strive for through relationships, careers, or personal achievements. But have you noticed how elusive lasting happiness can be, and how, the moment we try to grasp it, it seems to slip away? Here's a vital insight. Happiness is inherently fleeting, and the sooner we accept this, the better off we'll be. Recall the effortless joy of childhood, happiness found in simple activities like playing, running, or exploring nature. As adults, however, we often complicate our pursuit of happiness, seeking it in possessions, relationships, or accolades. This message underscores a crucial point. Happiness is transient, and understanding this can lead to greater contentment. Once we achieve what we thought we wanted, be it a loving relationship, a dream home, or a prestigious job, we often transition from joy to fear of loss. The initial thrill of love can give way to the anxiety of potentially losing it, or the dependency it creates. Thus, what begins as a pure and simple pleasure can become a source of stress and unhappiness. As we age, the quest for happiness can feel like a curse, tangled up with a desire for security, a perpetual, comforting embrace. We seek this assurance in our relationships, through friendships, marriages, or familial bonds. Yet the reality is stark. No security in life is everlasting. Life's impermanent nature means we are fundamentally alone, and even our closest relationships cannot shield us from this solitude. So, what's the solution? According to the author, the answer lies in ceasing the search for perpetual happiness. This means moving beyond the notion of a self that craves enduring joy. Living in the moment, acknowledging that everything, including happiness, is transient, opens the door to truly experiencing life's fleeting beauty. By embracing this, we can find a deeper, more resilient form of happiness, unanchored from the fears of impermanence. Part 4. The distinction between intellect and true intelligence. The concept of intellect often conjures up images of academic scholars, successful scientists solving intricate problems, and students achieving top marks. Intellect, in its conventional sense, relates to the ability to think analytically and deductively, functioning distinctly from our emotions, and can be cultivated to excel in specific fields like mathematics or science through focused education. However, the key message here diverges from traditional views. Intellect is not synonymous with intelligence. If intellect doesn't encapsulate intelligence, then what does? Intelligence, unlike intellect, is the holistic ability to integrate both emotional depth and reasoned thinking, allowing these aspects to coexist and complement one another. A purely academic or intellectual grasp of the world falls short because it often sidelines the emotional component. How then can one leverage their full intelligence rather than merely their intellect? The author suggests the cultivation of a quiet mind. True understanding, whether of a person, a work of art, or the ambience of a city, demands quieting our busy thoughts. When we constantly analyze and rationalize, we tend to miss the essence of what we're trying to comprehend. Truth surfaces subtly and can be elusive. It doesn't thrive amidst a noisy inner dialogue. Thus, a loud mind cluttered with constant thoughts can obstruct our perception of the whole truth. Escaping the relentless stream of thoughts might seem daunting, but it begins with deep awareness of our own mental processes. Recognizing that our intellect is largely shaped by conditioning and formal education helps us realize that it does not always accurately reflect reality. This conditioning influences our analytical patterns. By acknowledging this, we can create a space between our intellect and our actual perceptions, starting to see things as they truly are, devoid of our preconceived judgments and biases, marks the first step toward engaging our true intelligence, offering a richer, more complete understanding of the world around us. Part 5. Embrace your boredom and discover deeper insights about yourself. You're bored. There's a nagging dullness, an absence of inspiration. So you seek distraction, a movie, a run, a night out. Or maybe your boredom extends to your life's larger canvas, prompting drastic changes like a new job or a journey around the world. However, what if this common response to boredom, this urge to escape, is entirely misplaced? What if boredom is actually attempting to communicate a deeper truth about your existence? Here's the central insight. When faced with boredom, lean into it, instead of fleeing from it. Attempting to sidestep boredom through activities or major life changes is essentially an escape tactic, a distraction. But is distraction a valid reason to undertake significant actions, like adopting a new cause or altering your career path? The answer is no. Acting merely to avoid boredom can lead to unintended consequences. Instead, take a moment to simply be bored. Yes, it's okay to feel uninspired. Then delve into introspection. Why am I bored? Often the answer reflects back on us. We may be exhausted from relentless routines, overwhelmed by our responsibilities, or emotionally drained. When this realization dawns, it's crucial not to run from it. Confront these feelings of tiredness, disinterest, and discontent head on. By acknowledging and sitting with these feelings, they become just that, feelings, not drivers of reckless escapism. Facing boredom directly, understanding its roots and implications, initiates a process of personal healing. If ignored, the cycle of distraction continues unabated, turning life into an endless, unfulfilling loop, it's also vital to recognize that incessant pursuit of new distractions to combat boredom only breeds further boredom. Even if new interests, career advancements, or financial gains briefly capture your attention, the novelty soon wears off. By comprehending this cycle, you learn to find comfort and contentment within yourself rather than perpetually seeking it externally. Embrace your boredom, and you might just uncover profound insights about your life and yourself. Part 6. Life itself is the purpose. What is the purpose of life? This question has echoed through the ages, perplexing philosophers, theologians, and thinkers as they've searched for clarity. Perhaps this question plagues your thoughts as well. Interestingly, the author suggests that we might be starting from the wrong premise altogether. The pivotal message here is, the purpose of life is life itself. We often turn to philosophers, successful figures, and cultural traditions for guidance, hoping to shape our lives according to the paths they outline. This search might provide a sense of direction, but it also leads us away from appreciating the intrinsic value of life as we experience it personally, intimately. We fill our minds with ideas of what life should be, accomplishments to achieve, milestones to reach. And in doing so, we miss out on the essence of life that unfolds uniquely for each of us. There's no universal authority that can dictate the value or purpose of your personal experience. Constantly searching for a purpose implies dissatisfaction with the present, a desire to escape from the ordinariness of daily existence. If you find yourself pondering the purpose of life, it may be a sign that you perceive your current life as mundane or inadequate. Viewing life through the lens of needing to attain something, like finding spiritual fulfillment or achieving societal success, can lead to disillusionment with life as it is now. Instead of aspiring for a distant goal as the meaning of life, focus on the immersive experience unfolding right before you. If something feels amiss in your daily life, delve into understanding why. Confront any underlying confusion, sadness, or fear head on. Life, as it is lived moment to moment, offers a richness, a mystery, and a beauty that should not be overlooked. Life, in its raw and unstructured form, is the true essence we should embrace, recognizing its intrinsic value as the purpose itself. Final summary. The main takeaway from this discussion is that transformative change in the world starts with individual transformation. No external revolution or broad political ideology will address the issues you observe in the world. Understanding that our conditioned perceptions skew our view of reality is crucial. This affects our understanding of happiness, security, and other fundamental aspects of life, often leading to disillusionment when these ingrained expectations aren't met. More importantly, this narrative reinforces that life, in its purest form, is already filled with meaning. Searching for an additional purpose can detract from the richness and intrinsic value of simply living. Life, in all its complexity and mystery, possesses its own profound purpose that doesn't require external validation or achievement to be fulfilling. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.